Blog Talk Radio.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وبسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. الحمد لله brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for joining us this evening for Wealth Creation and Preservation. Alhamdulillah, we're going to play a portion of a S2S. The YouTuber is E.T. the Hip Hop Preacher. It's all one word. I believe his name is Eric Thomas. And really, actually the title of it is The Wrong Tribe. And he talks about the portion that we're about like halfway through. That is, we're beginning at about halfway through the actual whole interview. That portion that we believe is relevant, and also it goes to the end of the actual broadcast. In any case, really, it's talking about belief. It's talking about following God's guidance. It's talking about being helpful to other people and holding on to your own identity and your own relationship with God and being a blessing to other people and the like. So, and of course, there are going to be many, many other things that are part and parcel of it, and that's why we're playing it, and we'll add our elements to it when we rejoin. My co-host and I will be sharing our take and values that we believe you can take away from this presentation. So it is S2S Podcast, Episode 299, The Wrong Tribe. And my grandbabies, they are still here with me, so if you hear any noise, it's because those lovely, lovely ones are still with us. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Last thing the Lord told me I needed to fix, more. So I have people in my life, multiple people, who are in need, and I try to be a blessing. So you got some people need to go to college. Some people need to go to school. Some people need their kids to be blessed. Some people need transportation, whatever. And so it's like, how do you get to a place more where you know who to bless? And here's what God showed me. God showed me an example of somebody that I had been a blessing to. Right? So they told me to do something more. Me and Didi, we did it. Took us some hours to go do it. Right, because they didn't have transportation or the means to go do it, so we go do it. Ma, hit man, piss me off. I ain't talking about money. I don't care about none of that. When I did it, that person was like, yo, my bad. I didn't read the stuff right, so this ain't really what I need. This is what I need. So now you wasting my time, Ma. Now I got to go back and get you something else because you didn't look at what, and I'm like, okay, bet. All right, whatever. So in this case, Ma, it was something that their child needed. But you didn't even take the time to really see what they needed. So now I got to go back and get them something else. So I go get something else for them all. Now, because you ain't got tramp, now I got to drive. Now I got my time now, Ma. I don't care about no money.
Yeah.
And here's what God told me. Don't you ever do that again. I'm like, but God, they needed this. And he said, no. The government passed out stimulus checks. The government passed out stimulus. Now I'm talking to y'all out there. I'm being real. This is why some of y'all can't prosper. Somebody gave you money with a destination to it, and you took the money they gave you for the destination, and you used it for something else. God said, don't you ever, when somebody mismanages something, when somebody don't steward something, don't you ever take my place and try to come in and bless them. I gave them something to bless themselves with. They took what I gave them and bought a purse with it. That's it. They took what I gave them and bought it. Oh, you're not hearing what I'm saying. They took it and went to the club with it. Yep. They took it and went to the strip club. Like, look, don't you ever. I gave them what they asked for, and they misappropriated. Ooh. Don't you ever come behind me and now give them something for that. I gave them something for that. They chose not to use it for that. They chose to squander their blessings. So don't you throw your pearls at swine. And I was just like, okay, God, okay, I hear you. He said, listen to me. I told you to get up 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning. You got up. Why should you have to be obedient to me and get up early, and then I bless you, and you take the money that I gave you for getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning and being obedient to me, and you took it and gave it to somebody that got up at 10 o'clock in the morning? I didn't tell you to bless somebody that I ain't blessing. I gave you that. Mm. I told you to get up. I told you to get on the plane. You risk your life flying over to another city or another country. You were obedient to me.
Yeah.
You are doing what I told you to do. And then you taking the money. You paid your 10% tithe. You took another portion. And let me tell y'all something. We are at a point of obedience where we're not going, okay, well, how much money can I get from the government? Now we're trying to make millions so we can have something to give to the government. You missed what I just said.
Mm.
We're not trying to take nothing no more. We're trying to make enough money where we take our 33%, our 40%, give it back. Oh, come on. Y'all know how much we paid in taxes in this room? So we're trying to make sure that
I was having I was feeling you.
I got
everything
scared,
was good.
Bro.
And then you start saying taxes. Not my...
had a long conversation.
Are you feeling what I'm saying? I just, as a matter of fact, me and Didi just had one with Mike. But I'm just saying to you, Ma, we're in a position now where the people who have a need, we getting up every day grinding, making sure that that something was for them when they. We making sure that the church is running. So what I'm trying to tell y'all is, God told me stop that. Nope. I blessed this person. I gave this person opportunity. They mismanaging. Don't you throw your pearls at swine.
And not only, not to cut you off, E, but I'm like, dog, like, okay, so D's here, this is a perfect example. It's like, okay, he in college, right? Like, so obviously, you know what I'm saying? He in college. He going to be balled out, but right now, you know, he don't have, you know, he may not be able to just throw somebody a bunch of money. Let me just give y'all an example, like, of what the difference is between somebody who give and take, you know, take. Like, we just, and I know we've harped on this, but somebody, you got to feel this. Like, this kid is in college. Ma, please explain. Now, Yanni, we're working on getting Yanni to MSU.
Got it.
And so we took her on the college tour the first time. And D, I think we talked about it, maybe touched on it before, but D did the college tour, blew it out. Fire. You know what I'm saying? We didn't have to do nothing. We showed up. He had everything planned out. Everything went perfect. It's over. We should have talked about it last week on the podcast because he was here too. But please talk about the tailgate and how you – like, I didn't even know, but, like this, just listen to this.
Bruh, so, you know, so we brought Yanni here. We wanted for Michigan State's first football game. And so last time we said, you know, CJ was saying, hey, man, we're going to set up a tailgate, Michigan State, you know, for Yanni. Let her get – because there was no students here the first time we was here on campus.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just, you know, we went around to the building, but C was like, nah, she needs to feel a vibe of the students here and things like that. So D – he went ahead,
mind
man.
You, we don't live here.
Yeah,
you know
we right.
So it's like we can't necessarily, you know what I'm saying, show up and get everything. So we call D.
Yep, and then D has been just all, I want to say almost all month. All month, bro. He's been hitting me up. Like, hey, how many people you got coming? What kind of food do y'all like? Man, this is the tent they got at the store. You want this kind of tent or this kind of tent? You want this kind of water? There are your chairs, tables. I mean, my man been breaking down everything so that when we got here yesterday for the tailgate, bro, I'm talking about it. Everything was set up, bro.
Prime time location.
Mm.
Parking pass.
The grill, the charcoal, the food in the cooler.
It's the Spartan tent.
Yeah.
The chairs, the cooler with the water. Everything is set up. Ma literally bust open the food and threw it on the grill.
That's it.
Seasoned up the
we didn't have
the
to
grill.
Do anything. I'm talking about everything was just set up, man. And then my wife, bro, and that's why I made sure. I was like, bro, make sure you come in today because I got to make sure I'm about to bless you because you bless my wife. Mm-hmm. You know, when my wife, you know, talk about when she's happy, things go. Bro, I don't know if you knew this. We were the last people to leave.
Wow.
We were the last people to leave the tailgate yesterday. Everybody packed up. I told Steve, we was having such a great time just being outdoors, talking to the young ladies that was with us, our girls, talking to them. We, you know, it wasn't just about the college experience. We wanted to know, like, man, we were talking about life stuff. Camille was there talking about, hey, when y'all on campus here, you know, you're going to meet people. You know, so she was really just breaking things down to them. And I was just looking. I saw them just even hours after the game going back for another hot dog, going in the cool. It wasn't, you know, some people do things and then you run out. No, it was just,
run out.
It was no run out, bro. He did it. He did overly. You know, he went
and then called and said, hey, let me know when y'all finish so I can come break everything down and get everything up out of here.
came back, man, and we didn't have to do anything, bro. All we had to do was just leave the spot. He came back, took everything, and I'm just like,
and I'm saying, no, no, so again, you always said it's never about equal giving, equal sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And when you put yourself in a position to be a damsel in distress all the time.
Yeah.
Again, I don't care what your gift is. You know what I'm saying? Like shout out to my mother-in-law. If she don't do nothing else, she going to keep you fed. I'm talking about over tribe. She going to have you in the tribe.
Oh, my volume bottom. My volume bottom about to be blessed.
Listen, shout out to Mama Pam.
Yeah, oh, blessed.
She going to make sure you winning in that tribe.
I'm talking about, yeah.
Mama going to get you in the tribe.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm saying, my point is, so, again, and you have to understand something, and the frustration level comes from, again, I've been on both sides of the coin, bro.
Yeah.
Facts.
I've been broke.
Facts.
Young college student.
Yeah.
And I made it shake, and I've been on this side where God is blessed financially, and we've been able to, you see what I'm saying? So I know what both of those sides look like. And you get those people, man, and they want to be a damsel in distress. Oh, can you? I'm like, dog, find out what you can do. Everybody has a need. As much money as Mar got. Mar got more money.
Multiple needs.
I'm just saying. Yeah. No. I'm saying in that particular lane, Mar got enough money to do what. Matter of fact, Mar was like, look, all this stuff we bought, grills, all, just y'all take it to the frat house, keep it, whatever.
Yeah, keep it all.
This was just for the day. What Mar couldn't do is get there at 6 o'clock in the morning, find the perfect spot, set up, do all of that when he got his kids and his family. He coming in from
Chicago.
Definitely
get a parking pass.
Do
you see what I'm saying? So
not only a parking pass.
It's grown folk in Michigan State that work there.
Can't
get a parking pass.
Not only did he get us a parking pass, but he was like, man, because my wife drove her truck, and he was like, meet me at my place.
Yeah.
He took his parking pass for his where he lives.
I'm just saying.
Put it in my wife's car so she could have a parking spot over there.
And so that's what I'm saying. So ask yourself, take an inventory. What can I do?
Yeah.
Bring your skill set to the table. Don't just call.
Come
you
on,
know what
now.
I'm saying?
Come on, you're taking me to Christmas, my friend.
No.
Let the drummer play my truck for you. Can I get a little drum so I can calm down on Christmas? But that's it. Can I play my... He said, look. He said, I have no gifts to bring.
Right.
I have no gifts to bring.
Yep.
All I got is my drum. Can I play my drum? That's all I want to do. And I'm saying, you know, me and Jada had a little baby, little whatever, because she going to tell me yesterday, oh, Dad, you and mine, don't act like you and mine weren't on assistance. I said, well, you know we was on assistance because we told you we was on it.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, you ain't never been on it with us.
Mm-hmm.
So you know because we told you. I said, but here's the difference. We were on it. We weren't living in it.
Mm.
You feel me? When we got on it, Didi was like, yo, we need this.
Yep.
But as soon as we can get off.
Didn't Didi turn something in?
She turned it in. And I'm like, yo, they still giving it to us. I'm just saying,
was like,
you got your job. They still giving it to us. Didi, listen to me. Listen to me what I'm trying to tell you.
Mm.
Here's the different mindset. The mindset is I'm taking assistance, but as soon as.
Mm-hmm.
At two things. The first one is, as soon as I can get off, there are those of you who are living on, you've made the assistance God.
Oh.
You've made the assistance God. God says, and I will supply all your needs.
Mm.
According, you've made these hustles your God. You made these side little things you're doing. He said, and I will supply all your needs. Meaning what? That at some point I may make assistance. But I'm not telling you that I want you to be on assistance for the next 40, 30 years. That's not what I'm saying as God. So Didi was like, yo, we are in a position now. When are you going to try to get yourself in a position?
Mm.
That's all I'm talking about. Mm. Ain't nothing wrong with an assistance, but you ain't never trying to get in the game. You just want to say you on the team. No, get in the game. Contribute to the game. Here's what we do. You got offense. You got defense. You got special teams. And the devil is a lie. I told somebody the other day, if you are a real sports fanatic or a real human that understands equal giving, you understand that what the kicker does is critical to the doggone game.
Mm-hmm.
My man kicked the ball on the 2-yard line, and you got to start at the 2-yard line. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you Tom Brady. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Whoever you are, if you got to start at the 2-yard line, Stafford, if you got to start at the two-yard line and go 98 yards up, the probability of you scoring a touchdown in the NFL is slim to none. You get that ball on the 40-yard line, the probability of you scoring, even if you're a scrub, if you get it at the 50, the probability is much greater. What I'm trying to tell you is There are those of you who don't understand. If you are a kicker, we need you. If you are special teams and you grab that punt return or that kickoff return and you take that joker to the 30, you take that joker to the 40, if you don't do nothing but be you hit folks, all you do is hit. You just tackle with special teams.
Yep.
And you run that joker down and you tackle my man at the 8-yard line or you cause a fumble and you give us the ball at the 8. It doesn't matter if you're a star. It doesn't matter if you play offense or defense or special team. It just matters that you contribute. It just matters that you don't sit there and go, what can you do for me? It matters that you go, what little, big, small, average, it doesn't matter. What can I do? And I'm sick and tired of people who look at what you do and go, oh, you blew up. How can I use your blow up for my blow up?
Or looking at people and judging their gifts that they bring in.
Mm-hmm.
Like I heard somebody say the other day, like, bruh, humans, I promise you. So it was somebody had a bunch of paper and it was like an event or something and they donated. And I heard somebody say, oh, yeah, they donated all that money, but they had to do that. It's a tax write off anyway.
Wow.
And I'm like,
wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just like,
the greatest thing you could do for a tax off is to buy your own personal equipment.
Bend,
right.
It's not, give it to
right,
you.
Right, right. That's what
I'm saying.
I'm saying.
Give it to you.
Yeah.
But
your program.
Right, but they'll judge that. So let's take it. Let's be practical, right? All right. So before you had all the money you had, what did you bring to – what was your
– motivation, inspiration.
Right,
motivation,
right.
Inspiration.
So give us a practical example of like, yo, I would do this. And that was my way of bringing something like, and I'm talking about, no, I'm talking about specifically.
I go with the church.
Yeah, okay, go for
so
it.
So Pastor Doggett started a church.
Yep.
Everybody named Mama know I could preach.
Mm-hmm.
If you know me from Oakwood, you know I could preach. I started preaching in 89. Doggett didn't get there to 90-something.
Mm.
97, 98, I don't know. Probably 96, 97, 98, somewhere around there. When Doggett started the church, what happened, weird situation, Jamal, maybe not weird, but we couldn't afford to buy a church, so we would rent out Sunday churches. But from week to week, it would change. So 1 week, this church would let us. 1 week, listen to me very closely. We never knew, so you didn't get the message maybe Friday night. You got it Saturday morning, 8 o'clock in the morning. Me and Didi, we was already packed, or Didi would be like, yo, we can't make it, you go. And come back and scoop us, or we'll get somebody to take us. I was always the first one there, and if it was a church where it was like an auditorium, I would be the one putting the chairs down with energy.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't putting the chairs down like, man, if we knew when the church was going to be, we wouldn't even have, we could have set up the night before, and we could have, I'm talking about, I got to that joke in the morning, I use my influence. Hey, Lee, what you doing?
Mm-hmm.
L, what you on?
Mm-hmm.
Chan, what you on? Hey, run on to the church with me real quick. Put these chairs down. Bro, we would put the chairs down, bro. I'm telling you, when the doors were open, we put the chairs down. We call everybody we knew. Hey, it's going to be here. 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 We put all the chairs down. Bro, I literally, Ma, went and bought vests for all the fellas. It didn't matter what you wore, but we tried to do a blue shirt, royal blue shirt, a black vest and some black pants and the black shoes, and we would usher. I'm talking about I could preach, and I'm like two. I'm talking about, bruh, it used to feel good. Like, oh, they go four. Hey, can I get the two of y'all to move over? Yeah, we got four. Can you move on that side? You by yourself? Can you go in the back? Yeah, I got you. Boom. I'm talking, bruh, we was, we was sweet with it, bruh. So when people know me from Madison, Miss, they don't know me as a preacher. They know me as E started the usher movement. Imagine doing all of this movement and not having somebody that can sit people.
Yeah.
So the way I saw it was, yo, I'm about to help Doggett because I'm going to bring organization to this joker, and I'm going to be geeked up and pumped up. And there was some people would come late, and I'd be like, yo, come. Don't worry about it. You get here late. So we start pushing everybody up to the front, saving some back stuff. And then if you was a big-time tie pair, we try to keep a little something like that. We know what Dr. Wani got there. You know, he's like, hey, little, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So we had, like, Dr. Wani. Don't even worry about it.
Yeah.
When you come in, we guys, like, get in here whatever you want to get in here.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Hey, it is what it is. Hey, take care of the people that take care of you. And so I'm just saying, most people would think, and yes, they were men, no disrespect, but there were men who were fighting to get on the pulpit.
Absolutely.
And to be next to Doggett and to sit on the hookup. But I'm telling you, I was still in the mall. If you are a punter, a kicker.
I want to go
return.
Further.
You,
yeah.
still wear the, you still wear the helmet and outfit.
I
want to
go
yeah.
further. Like, for real, y'all all football fans.
Yeah.
But y'all probably can name 10 people on any given team. Let's go deeper. I was up at the park up by our house the other day, and I saw somebody. We getting into soccer season. I saw my man out there doing the paint. Bruh,
I needed
take the paint
car.
Off the doggone field. You don't have a sport.
You don't have a sport.
No, you don't have a sport.
Yeah.
So we're talking about the team, but I'm saying even before the team, there's so many positions to fill. You know what I'm saying? Of course, my phone will be ringing.
Okay.
There's so many positions to fill. My man is out there 6 o'clock in the morning, and he's the same dude that do the park. So if you ever go up to the park, my man up there cutting the grass like 3-4 times a week at 6:30 in the morning. I'm up there running. He out there cutting the grass.
Watering the grass. He the one make the water come on.
I'm just saying, you there's roles to fill. You just got to pick one. But, hey, I'm going to go back to the beginning. You're in the wrong tribe.
Yeah, you're in the wrong tribe.
You're in the wrong tribe because your grandmother lived there.
No.
You know what I'm saying? And you picked up the habit to her. Your mom lived there.
No.
And now you're following that same pattern. You're in the wrong tribe. God called you to be somewhere more than that. I'm just saying, it ain't nothing extra deep in this room other than people that just like, we're not going to stop here.
We're in the right tribe.
We're in the right tribe.
We're in the right tribe.
Fresh breath and a great smile are their own.
Listen to me. Oh, man, I be wishing sometimes. I know we be texting back and forth, but I'm telling y'all, there are times when I go online, and I've been noticing. I don't know if you've seen it, Ma. Not saying it's bad, but I've been noticing there are people who want to be in a something. And so I've noticed what people start doing is they got their tribe, and they be posting. You feel me? They be posting to let people know we out here. You feel me? I promise you, Ma. I promise you. I see celebrity tribes.
Yep.
I see people who make money, tribe, different tribe. I promise you, in the name of Jesus Christ, I've never looked on there and went, man, I wish I could get in their tribe. I'm telling you, there are people right now, you trying to get in a tribe when you got a tribe.
Mm.
You got people, but you looking at them. I promise you, I wish I could say names. I have never gone online. I've never watched TV and saw a group of men doing something and wish, man, I was in that tribe. What I do is look at my tribe and go, praise God.
Yeah.
I can go, like, if this group is making money, bruh, I don't have no problem. We know how to make money. If this group is changing the world and impacting, we might, now, will we make and impact as many people? I don't know. But, bruh, it feels good to wake up and know I'm in a tribe. I don't want to be in another tribe. I'm not envious or jealous of another tribe. I'm not jealous of another tribe. I don't want to dress like another tribe. I don't want to be another tribe. I'm in my tribe. And not only am I in my tribe, let me tell you all the greatest feeling in the world. And I haven't always had this feeling. I'm in a tribe where I no longer value it or think it's important to be the jack of all trades. I'm not in a tribe where I'm like, oh, okay, well, Maul and Steve doing business, I got to fly. How many times have y'all done business and I flew there to do the business with y'all?
Never.
At zero.
Right.
But when Steve called me and said, yo, the fam is coming, we need to get on the field, get dressed.
Or when I get there and need a video for one of their employees who you fan, like, hey, we got to lock up this deal.
And I'm like,
for sure.
Let's go. Here's what I'm trying
to
tell you.
Yep.
I'm not, okay, y'all going to do something, I got to be with. I don't got to be with them. I don't do that, and neither do I have a desire to do it.
Right.
But you call me when it's time for the kick. You see, you look at me, I'm going to need you to go bob. I'm like, I'm looking at the ref like, are we lined up straight?
Okay,
got it. And I'm like, boom, boom, touchdown. I play my role.
Yeah.
For too many of you, for real, get in your tribe. But no disrespect, Carl said your grandma, your mom and grandma want you to do better. Each generation should be better. We're trying to build a dynasty. Your family don't want you to be stuck where they were. And so, man, that's spot on. But listen to me. These are those of you who've made assistance into a god. You're not a bad person. You just don't trust. And you got to learn how to trust more. All right? You got to know that Lil D, he came in. We can't equally give, but we can equally execute. I know somebody about to steal that right now. We cannot equally give, but we can equally execute.
That's a fact.
He executed with the pass, parking pack. He executed with the tent. He executed with the food. You don't have to be great to be with great people. You just have to great on a level of execution to be with great. You don't have to have, you see what I'm saying? He's 20. I'm 51. He's still in our circle, and he getting the blessing. After the other day, I was like, yo, bruh, got a little challenge. I got to fly in and fly out the same day, 4 planes. Took me to Detroit, said I'm going to work all day. I called him like, yo, bruh, my flight has been delayed. He like, just tell me what time. You call me when you get there. And I landed. He like, yo, I'm on gate four. I'm like, boom, got me to the crib. Bro, I was so burnt out. Bro, I know I fell asleep on him a couple times. I promise you. I didn't want to, but I feel like I did a couple times. Okay, yeah, yeah, I fell asleep a couple times.
You sure did.
I promise you I did. I got home. I was like, D, I think Dad was talking to me, and I fell asleep a couple times. I was burnt out. I know in Jesus' name, I would not have been able to make it home on my own, Mom.
Yeah.
I would not have been able to drive home. Mm. You feel me? But he drove me home, and guess what I thought about? All the people in my life that call me and want something, I put you on a different list. He got put on the execution list.
I'm saying he's 20.
He got put on the execution list and been executed since. And called me on the red. Hey, E, what you need today? I was like, I don't need nothing today. All right, cool. I'm about to go on my day. Next day, E, what you need? All right, cool. I need you to get me to my grandma going to Chicago. I need to get two cakes to take up to my. He's like, I got it. Man, I told y'all, but I got there. I love it. My father and my aunt was like, you know, your grandma, she old. She can't eat the cake. My grandma was like, go somewhere and sit down. Go somewhere and sit down. I'm great. Leave that cake in here. She said, I'll smash it when I want to, however many times I want to. They're my kids. Don't nobody tell me what to do. I'll smash cake. Leave it in there. I'm going to eat it in the morning, at night. I'm going to eat as much as I want. And then it came from my grandson. So I'm eating this cake. So I'm just saying, as my grandma's eating the cake, guess who I'm thinking about? As my grandma loving on the cake, guess what? My cousin eating the cake, guess who I'm thinking about?
Who made this
so
happen?
Some of you pissed, oh, this person ain't answering my call. This person ain't looking out for me. You not on the execution list. You on the take list. You want I want something list. You want I'm going to I'll leave with this one. Some people come in your life and they make your life simple. They simplify your life. Some people come in your life and they complicate your life. Don't be one of the people that complicate and make people's lives challenging. And some people love you enough, they're going to do it. But don't be that person in their mind when they look at the phone and go, oh, here go another challenge. Oh, they're going to want something. Be the person like Lil D that called. And then my wife is like, she just met him. Like, oh, he called. What do you want? Why? Because now he's on her
execution list.
Yep. Yeah, get on the execution list and get off the excuse list.
That's a whole word.
Right. No, don't say nothing. Let it sink in. You out there, you riding, and you think, is he talking to me? Yes.
Ooh.
He is.
If you're thinking it.
If you're thinking
right.
It. I see my possibility.
It's such a struggle trying to climb the ladder of success. Living in a world where every day my strength is put to the test. But I face that test with courage, and I just won't be discouraged. I'm determined, you see, to reach my
possibility.
Now I've run across so many things that could block me, but I made up my mind. That I can become, that's why I'm reaching for the sun.
I see my possibility. Just woke up and found him here in me. Nothing but green lights ahead of me.
I'm looking further down the track. Get ahead, I'm on the back.
I see my possibility.
I see them.
Nothing
but green lights.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وبسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واشهد ان لا اله الا الله واشهد ان محمد رسول الله. Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum. And to my beloved co-host Ryan Shack, guys, we got it cocked and ready. Don't get it twitted. And assalamu alaikum to you.
Alaikum assalamu rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah. And
Alhamdulillah.
It's a big thing busting out with Facebook today. I haven't had a chance to dig into it. Did you look at all into that Facebook trip that's going on right now?
Yeah, it shut down. Both Instagram and Facebook shut down. It was shut down for hours most of the day. I think it just kind of reactivated about an hour ago.
Oh, it did? Because I couldn't set my StreamYard with the Facebook,
mm-hmm.
So we're only on the YouTube side of it. We don't have a Facebook Live, but it seemed like it's got some of that WikiLeaks kind of thing going on with it. You know, like
I haven't seen any more. You know, some of the little pop up funny memes came up a few. You know,
mm-hmm.
But you know, ultimately, it's a sign to business owners who depend solely on social media,
mm-hmm.
that it's like, you know,
this
if it shuts
you,
down,
right?
How does that affect your party, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For anyone.
Yeah.
If this is your only means and platform, you have to start to be creative as to what you need to do. And so, like, my group, that we have a chat group on Instagram, so when it started shutting down, we were able to start, especially, and also on WhatsApp, we just put our chat on our phone, you know,
okay.
and had our way to communicate. And we had a conversation about that because, you know, many businesses don't have a website or they depend completely on the followers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that can put you behind the curve because that shows you that at any time a platform can cut your whole situation off. So you have to, that's the same thing like finances, right? Like
right.
if you only have a job,
right.
if your job gets cut off, then do you have multiple streams that will be able to supply
right.
a way for you to continue to live? So it was just a sign in that. So, but if you're not in the tribe to have those kind of conversations, then you would be upset. Like, I'm on one. How do I do this?
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
you know, I was in a solution-based group of,
yeah.
of thinkers that we started to see, well, this is how we can use Pinterest, or this is how we can use email marketing, or how
yeah.
we can create a newsletter to connect with the people who are already connected with us and how they can find us. So it opened my eyes up, even
yeah.
with my business, on ways that how that we can continue to communicate. If these platforms, if it all shut down, how will you communicate with your
people? Yeah, yeah. Well, alhamdulillah, so we're gonna push it on. We're flying under the flag of be a blessing and give God something to bless, right? So you're going to get the details of it. And, again, upon the same principle that we see our Christian brothers and sisters, our Jewish brothers and sisters, our Amish brothers and sisters, what have you, our Mormon brothers and sisters, it's like they're getting it, and they're getting it on the basis of what they believe. And the principle of belief is just so profound. Ultimately, we're going to get to really unpacking that more and more. So, but the point is, you see demonstrations of people who only have a part of what we have, but doing so much with the part that they have, because they
right.
they follow what they believe with action, which is the only reality, but also, you know, in line with what they say they believe. So that's what we got to do. So
right.
and you continue to help us move on that path. Turn it over to you right now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh. Thank you. Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi.
Now can
there
you hear me? I was still muted. Alhamdulillah, I was saying, you talk like a grown woman. Alhamdulillah. That's right. We need some grown women and grown men out here, don't we? But I need to say on that note, listen, come on. baby boomers, I'm one of them, mashallah. That's the label that we've been given, the born between 46 and 64. It is what it is. You know, you got the Generation X, Generation Y, Millennials. I don't even know what it is now. What's the other one? Anything
else? I think you said it is the Gen X.
Gen X, okay. Alhamdulillah. So, who we got here. MBS Business Credit, alhamdulillah. This part is not my business. My business is showing up with Hexlers. Allahu Akbar. Sound like a meme and a bumper sticker. You know what I'm saying? So you gotta get a picture that goes with that, and like a little cat hanging on the end of a rope with a knot. Hold on here, the knot. Hang in there, baby. So, alhamdulillah.
Hang in there.
Yeah, yeah. What I wanted to say before moving down the road, look, baby boomers. You need to be checking in with these younger folks. Even the Eric Thomas, he was, he was talking about somebody who is in his 20s, and he said, I'm 51, right? So it's like for him, relative to the 20-somethings, he's like an old head, you know. But young people who are on and who are ready, who are in that tribe, if you will, they register with them. But the people who are about that, they have to speak up for that and speak to that. Again, you have to, as you say, you have to know your strength, know your weakness, know your lane, know what works for you, what doesn't work for you, know what looks, you know, I'm hearing these words like corny and whack and different things like that, you know, and they have their meaning in that vocabulary, right? But I'm saying we need to listen to somebody's like young people. Okay, look, take 20 years off of whoever you are. Take 20 off yours, and then turn around and look back and check in with some of these youngsters who are doing things, and you can find them, as we do find them. We find them, and we air a lot of them on Wealth Creation and Preservation. But what you will find in addition to that is that These are young people. You know, the Quran says that maturity is at 40. The Quran says that maturity is at 40, 40, right? So that means we got youngsters between 40 and 50. I don't know where the cutoff is. The cutoff is, if the baby boomers, the cutoff is 44 to 64. So, okay, so let's push it up. 75, right? 75 and earlier. Let yourself, my dear, that fall into that range. Just like she's putting it down right here for us, there are also young, just like Eric Thomas that we listened to, he would fall into that same age category. And again, he's reaching out, pushing it, still relatable, you know, but also a believer who is practicing what he preaches. Literally, he's the hip-hop preacher. And he practices what he preaches. And I'm saying that there are many in this age range, I'm going back to the 40-50 age range right now, that are online, that are focusing on entrepreneurship, who have come through and have survived the streets. I mean, many of these that we're playing here, they have survived the streets. They have, you know, dodged the bullet literally and figuratively, and came out on the other end, and most often it is because they have faith. I've yet to see someone, well, I don't believe in God, but I'm all right. You know, I made my millions, you know, blue, blue, blue. No, most everyone I hear, they got faith. They got belief, right? Even at 19 Keys, you know, 19 Keys, he didn't adapt it. Elijah Muhammad's, signature crown iconography, and he's rocking with that. So, okay.
Right.
So I'm telling you, these young people in this age range that I'm speaking of now, 40 and 50, who have seen the streets, been in the streets, got out the streets, and given themselves to God and faith and belief, and who have incorporated and codified their beliefs and make them work in the tribe that they're in, and created their own tribes in that respect. And with admirable success. And so I'm gonna continue in that vein today so as to, let me see, where are we going here? Let's see. All right, let's get where that's, I think that's a little too small, isn't it? Let's see if I can stay in here. Mashallah. Take it out. Take it in. All right. You're going to be there, so don't fall asleep on me.
Oh, no, I can always turn my camera off.
You know, Camila and I, you know, we have our discussion most definitely on Monday mornings. And, okay, where are we going? What are we going to talk about? What's going to be our focus? And so we landed on this particular video that she shared with us, and also the idea that came out was the Moses method, because so much of what he was saying brought us back conceptually to that particular principle. Now, what cemented the direction that I'm taking right now is I had some banking business that I had to do today that's not ordinary for me, but I did. And when I got there, the banker who was helping me was an Asian, and his name was Moses. Now, come on. I have never heard of an Asian with a name like Moses. So that was God saying, okay, well, this is your subject today, all right? And so this is it. So I want to, after having said what I have said about telling us the Muslim baby boomer generation, turn around and pay some attention to the successful survivors of the street who have come out with faith and have established institutions and businesses and the like that are truly serving. There is a lot of wisdom that these 40-plus year old, and it's even younger, but I'm just staying with the Quranic definition, the Quranic standard that says, okay, maturity is at 40. Yes, you're going to get something from those who are younger, but I'm saying you need to look at. I listen to them, and I know that there's some places that many of us as baby boomers or what have you, we just wouldn't go as baby boomers and as Muslims. So you sometimes don't necessarily see the value of it. And then sometimes the language would just is off-putting for you. But once you get past, once you understand what that language is and is not, what that word meant to you when you first heard it, when you were 10 and under or whatever, or even when you used it as a teenager, don't even front, when you used it as a teenager, it's like what it even meant to you then, it doesn't mean the same thing. It doesn't, to you, maybe it does. But I'm saying now we're talking about as the language users. It doesn't mean to them the same thing that it meant to us. And I'm only saying that to say not for you to accept it, but just take those fish bones out of their conversation. Just take that out, because these youngsters, having demonstrated what they created from the mindset, which is a very important and prominent thing with them and should be with us, that it's like I have a mindset that has transcended the world that holds most of the young people in my demographic back, and I've come into faith and I've come into an understanding of how to apply my faith in a way that has rendered me great success and has made me a great servant of other people. I'm saying one more time, baby boomers, go check out some of the wealth creation oriented YouTube aspects, and just sit and listen, you'll be surprised how much wisdom is there. But now, that being, in addition, therefore, to that, extending that thought, I want you to couple what I said with this thought, which is an ongoing, it's almost like it should be like a poster for all of our broadcasts, because this is the principle, when I say all of our wealth creation broadcasts, because this is the principle A, that we're operating upon, and the concept that we really want us all to better understand. That is this, that there are many, many materially successful non-Muslims, okay? However, their best values are only a subset of our deen. Our deen is a complete way of life, which is a complete set of divine values. The values of Al-Islam, it's a complete set of divine values tied to the natural laws of creation. What we Muslim believers should take note of is that even their phenomenal success is upon only a subset, not even the whole of our values. The success that they're having is coming from a part, meaning that not because they're Muslim, but they're non-Muslims. But the values that they, which are universal values, when they have grasped the right one, that's just one or even several of the values that are a part of the total way of life that we've adopted. So to talk about tribes, it's like we're in the quote unquote the Muslim tribe. Don't worry about the word in its confining or limiting sense. It's just saying birds of a feather, right? It's like once you decide that you have a set of shared values, and you decide that you have a destiny, and you decide that you share meanings to certain words, and that language and the behavior that goes with that language, then that's the tribe that you're in. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, the one who speaks Arabic is an Arab. Now, it's not talking about nationality or ethnicity. It's talking about the values. It's talking about the perspective. Language is not a race. Language is a particular vocabulary. It's a particular mind, right? So in terms of the language that we have, when we share those values, then those shared values make us members of that particular tribe. I'll elaborate on that later. I don't want to get too distracted. I don't want to get distracted at all. But moving on, so what we're going to be talking about now is the Moses method, and it's about being a blessing and being blessed. Being a blessing. You see, in their language, in his language, and I believe his name is Eric Thomas, in his language, he's talking about being a blessing to someone. That's his way of saying, charity, being charitable towards somebody, giving and helping someone, so that you becoming a blessing in the person's life. That's an Islamic value. That's an Islamic value. But the entirety of what he spoke, what was addressed then, I know his way of philosophy of life and approach to it as a Christian, is broader than just that principle. But the heart, literally and figuratively, of Christianity, true, is what we call charity, they call love. What we call charity, they call love. According to Imam Muhammad, and I agree, I just want to let you know where that comes from. So their attitude about love is a reflection of the attitude that we are supposed to have about sadaqah. That's the attitude, not zakat. Zakat is an obligation. So when he talks about tithing, that's the equivalent of zakat for us. So that's got to be basic, fundamental, already there, established, wa akimu salat wa atu zakat. If you've separated those two things and you're not just as forceful in your commitment to zakat as you are to salat, then you're a bird with one short wing and one long wing, given that you have one. And that really, literally and figuratively, doesn't fly. So the point is, so they have tithing and then they have charity. But that charity is love. We have zakat, we have sadaqah. And so zakat, you're obligated to do. Sadaqah is that extra that you do. So what he talks about in speaking of being a blessing, Well, that's what we mean when we say sadaqah. So sadaqah has to become. So that there's an example of that, the utilization of a subset of our values, sadaqah slash being a blessing, i.e. charity, and look at how much it's prospering, and look at how much it inspires, look at how much it motivates, look at how much it blesses others and motivates others. So then that becomes, okay, Muslims, how many of us are actually and emphatically executing that with at the level of supposed to be given? There's a reason why Imam Muhammad rahimahullah alayhi recommended for us to develop closer relationships with the Focolare. And one of the primary reasons of developing a close relationship with the Focolare, it wasn't just interfaith. It was being around people who actually lived what they believed in. They lived what they believed in. That is a part of our shared beliefs. That is, we share beliefs with them in relationship to what they say about love, understanding the translation, being charity, being sadaqah, seeing them acting on that. If we are around, if we become a part of that quote-unquote tribe from the perspective of shared values and acting on what we say we believe, then much more success can be expected from us because of the influence that comes from being around people who act out and act upon what they believe. That's also supposed to be, and it is, and I say supposed to be because we need to do more of it. But so I'll still say the idea, we all need improvement, but at the same time, the Quran, when it says, وَتَوَسَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَسَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ, we're supposed to be influencing each other to reality and through reality, and we're also supposed to be influencing each other to patience, meaning being more charitable in terms of the give that we have for our brother. Okay, well, I'm going to get out of pass. And I'm going to forgive you for that. Patience and also perseverance, meaning that you have to keep going, I have to keep going. I have to continue to strive to do the right thing at the right time in the right way. You have to strive to continue to do the right thing at the right time in the right way. And we have to, we have to tie together in doing that. So it's like, if that's not what you're actually doing and that's not your actual mindset, then is you're on dress rehearsal. That's not the way for it to happen. So moving on. So from one of the youngsters that we listened to, this particular pairing, a way of pairing these words and thus the kind of definition given to it, is a very acceptable bifurcation of these two words, basic and fundamental. Basic and fundamental. So there's a difference between the basics and the fundamentals. The basics have to do with, in this language, the basics have to do with the vocabulary. You know the words. You know the things to be talked about. You know the ideas and the principles. You know them from I'm going to call it a two-dimensional perspective. But those are not the fundamentals. The basics are the basics. That is, to be able to have a conversation about it, to be able to include it in a sentence and all that. Okay, you got the vocabulary, right? Understanding words mean what they make you do. A, you don't really have that vocabulary until you act in accordance with that vocabulary. Now, when you act in accordance with the vocabulary that you have, now the vocabulary is real for you. But now you have to go beyond just having the words and being able to speak the lingo. Now you have to get to the fundamentals. And the fundamentals has to do with the metaphysics of it. When I say the metaphysics of it, they say the physics. When it was talked about in one of our other broadcasts, they say it's the physics, right? It's good, so you can get to it that way. But it's not the physics as much as it is the metaphysics. When they say physics, it had to do with, well, looking beyond the thing itself and seeing the law operating within it. That's good. For us, speaking of myself, it is the metaphysics. It's that there's the physics, but physics tells us about the operations, but it doesn't tell us anything about the nature of what we're what's being described. Okay, so physics, the laws of physics, can tell you about the operations, which brings in the idea of the mechanics of it. This is the mechanics of optics. So this is the mechanics of thermodynamic energy and blah blah blah. Physics, the metaphysics. What's the metaphysics? That's more fundamental than the physics. The metaphysics is, what is it in the qadr? What is it in the law and order and the operations and the powers and the forces that Allah has ordered? Where is its place, the sawa? Where is that? That's what we're talking about. I'm only saying that so you can understand it. And I'm saying that also, and more importantly, is that when we're in a situation as we are now, and I'm about to read, fundamentally, I'm just going to read the expression, the translation of it, because I'm not trying to get to the fundamentals in the most formal, way. How do you get to the fundamentals in the most formal way? Through the I'rab, through the lughat al-arabiya, through that. See, that the light of God comes through. It shines. Even in the trans, not all of it, some of it, I should say, the rays, I'm talking about like rays of the sun, the rays of light in the truth of the Quran, they shine through even through the translation. That's how most of the people in our association, if you want to be for real now, you've been living on the rays of the translation. And I thank Allah for it. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. But there's a very, very much, the movement has been constantly growing and growing and growing grasp of the lughat al-arabiyya. And we thank Allah. And I won't name any entities because I know somebody will get left out. But the point is that we have many that have a rich history and they continue to make contributions right now. Okay, so. Enough to cover the idea. So why is he just reading the translation? Because I'm talking about the basics, and the basics to just bring out the essential principle that shines through just the situation. Because, you know, we talked about figurative speech, figurative expression, right? So in the same way, whenever you have a picture, this what I'm about to read you is like a movie script. And I'm about to read 28. Surah 28, verses 22 through 28, and it's like a movie. It's like a scene out of a movie. And so when you have this visual representation, okay, well, that's concrete. That's objective. Now from that concrete or within that concrete and within that objective is metaphysics. There is an abstract message, information inside that picture, the picture in that drama. It is carrying, it is projecting information that comes from the foundation of creation, that the little bit of light that shines through it, even if you just read in the translation, that light doesn't come from the translation, it's coming through the translation from the foundation. Okay, so I'm telling you again, those of you, if you haven't gotten up to, I'm still telling you, you have to, you should, don't stop. You have to get to the lughat al-arabiyya, and you have to get in all of whatever, as much as you can possibly learn about the reality of that language, so you can have Quranic literacy, okay, fine. But that being said, right, that being said, the illumination is still there. So I'm going to have to move on. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan. 28:22-28. It says, Then when he turned his face towards the land of Madian, he said, I do that my Lord will show me the smooth and straight path. And when he arrived at the watering place in Madian, he found there a group of men watering their flocks, and besides them, he found two women who were keeping back their flocks. He said, what is the matter with you? They said, we cannot water our flocks until the shepherds take back their flocks, and our father is a very old man. So he, Moses, watered their flocks for them. Then he turned back to the shade and said, oh, my Lord, truly I am in desperate need of any good that you would send me. Afterwards, one of the damsels came back to him walking bashfully. She said, my father invites you that he may reward you for having watered our flocks for us. So he came to him and narrated the story. That is Moses talking to what history tells us is Jethro, which some say is also Shoaib. It says, my father invites you that he may reward you for having watered our flocks. So when he came to him and narrated the story, he said, fear you not. Well have you escaped from the unjust people. Said one of the damsels, oh, my dear father, engage him in wages. Truly the best of men for thee to employ is the man who is strong and trusty. He said, that is the father, he said, I intend to wed you to one of my daughters on the condition that you serve me for 8 years. But if you complete 10 years, it will be a grace from you. But I intend not to place you under any difficulty. You will find me indeed, if Allah wills, one of the righteous. He said, be that the agreement between me and you, whichever the two terms I fulfill, let there be no ill will between me, no ill will to me. Be Allah the witness on what we say. So, sadaqallahu alazim, alhamdulillah. So that's a dramatic, you should very easily see that in dramatic representation. And so inside that story, you can see from the beginning, Moses was on the run. If you read further in the earlier parts of the verses that came before that, Moses was on the run. And he was hoping that God would guide him. He was not a prophet at this time, but he was on the run. And then he came to the watering hole, blah, blah, blah. The women needed help. He helped them, not looking for any remuneration. And then he went back, and his full condition was expressed in his dua. He said, oh, my Lord, I am ready. I am in desperate need of any good that you would send me. So he's saying that there's no good in my life. From his perspective, there's no good in my life right now. Oh, Lord, whatever you send, I'm ready to receive it. And then right after that dua, here comes the damsel walking bashfully, saying, my father wants to see you. And the rest of the story goes. So Moses, from his condition, and from one moment to the next, from his condition, he got a wife, a job, and a place to stay for 8 years. And the reports say that Moses took the 10 years. So alhamdulillah, so inside of that, what's the metaphysics of that? So that's the situation. That's the picture. That's the drama. That's the concrete. What are we to abstract from that? We are to abstract at least three or four particular steps that are involved. And I'm going to speak to each one of those, inshallah. Now, Ibn Umar, radiallahu anh, he said, the Messenger of Allah said, if anyone fulfills his brother's needs, Allah will fulfill his needs. If you relieve a Muslim of his troubles, Allah will relieve his trouble. That is, if one relieves a Muslim of his troubles, Allah will relieve his troubles on the day of resurrection. That's a wealth strategy. That's a wealth strategy. You want Allah's help, help somebody else. Just literally, you want Allah's help, help somebody else. That's the meta principle in the whole thing. Don't be so concerned and so overwhelmed about your own limitations or your own shortage of resources to the point where you see others who are in need and you say, well, it looks like a personal problem to me. What are they doing out here anyway? No. He acted to help those in need, and immediately upon that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped him. Now, from the story, what precedes this particular portion of the Quran, you'll note that Musa was first, he was innocent. He was running. And you remember the situation of his brother and the other, and that goes to what Eric Turner was saying also, Thomas, I believe his name. He's saying that there are certain people that, and it was also called "Damsel in Distress" in during the interview of the piece. Now, those of you who weren't with us at the beginning, you kind of missing what we said just in part. But the point is that they were discussing about how do you know who God intends for you to help, and does God have injunctions against helping people, quote unquote, who misuse resources and who misuse the blessings that Allah blesses them with, and then you step in and you try to bless them after they wasted the blessing that God had given them. You say, no, you don't do that. Well, in the picture of Moses that preceded the 22nd verse of the 28th chapter of the Quran, that was effectively what was happening with Moses. He came into the town. When he first came into the town, one of his quote-unquote tribe members, one of the members of his tribe was fighting somebody, and Moses stepped in to help his brother, natural, the tribe. He's my tribe. So that's natural instinct to be concerned about family, right? But he struck the man with a blow. The man died. You know, Moses, auzubillah. He's saying, it's like, no, I didn't hit him that hard. This is from Shaitan, what have you. Okay, so Moses goes on, right? Then he comes back through the town again, the same guy, in another situation. And then Moses was about to help him again, and then he was identified and said, oh, you the guy that killed that guy, right? And Moses, he started getting up out of there after he was warned about, you know, they're looking for you, they're coming after you. But that's an indication. That's an indication. We know that Moses was indeed innocent in his, there was no intention on his part to hurt or kill anyone, but he was being, dare I use this word, triggered by his relationship with his tribe. But his tribe in this case was like, man, you're wrong. You're wrong in your act. But if you don't control yourself in your habitual way of responding to your people, then you're going to get, quote unquote, messed up, twisted in a certain way. So what's the first principle? First principle is be innocent. First thing is to be innocent, brother and sister. You got to be innocent. You have to be innocent. We all, quote unquote, have shortcomings, right? Sin is a more quote slash Judeo-Christian term, but in reality, the Greek term for the word that's translated as sin in the New Testament, it actually is an archery term, archery, and it means missing the mark, missing the mark. So we all miss the mark on many things, but see, this deen, this way of life of al-Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it crystal clear through the model example of Muhammad that he gave us. The prophet, peace be upon him, he said, follow up an ill deed with a good deed, because the good deed will take away, will emho, it will erase the ill deed, and behave well toward people. So since missing the mark is a part of our life, it's a part of the human condition, we miss marks every day. All right? So when you miss the mark, then what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to follow it up with a good deed and behave well toward people. Practice that. Practice that. Practice that. So much more to be said about that. So when we talk about being innocent, that's what we mean. Meaning recognize, well, I got to say, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said a servant, a man committed a sin, and then he turned and he asked Allah to forgive his sin. And the report that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hadith Qudusi, it says the servant of mine has committed a sin and recognized that he has a Lord that punishes and forgives sin. I've forgiven him. And that happens at least three times, could be five, but at least three times that happens in the hadith. And the final line of it is, it says, go, my servant, do what you will. I have forgiven you. And Imam Muhammad points out that that's like being released on your own recognizance. Right, we know, yeah, you committed some kind of crime, whatever it might be, but in the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you ask for his forgiveness after recognizing that you have a Lord who punishes and who forgives, then God is saying you're released on your own recognizance because you have a conscience. You have a conscience about what's right and what's wrong, and you recognize that you have to ask for forgiveness in order to get that forgiveness, right? Hadith Qudusi again. I'm talking about innocence, but not confusing innocence with perfect purity or something like that. That's the shaitan. It's like, no, there's no perfect purity in that thinking. You can be sincere. You can be innocent. And what, let's take it from just that word, sincere. Sincere. Yeah, sincere. You can take that word sincere and split it up. And sincere. Now, this word seer, at least phonetically, it means pain. You hear somebody talking about, and he talks about searing pain. Seer is talking about the intensity of something painful, right? Sincere. If you're sincere, then that means the marks that you miss, you feel the pain of it. You feel pains of conscience. Nafsalawama. You feel the self-accusing spirit. You know that that's wrong, right? You acknowledge that's wrong. You recognize the pain. Well, as the prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we can do it through the word, and we can also do it through the reports of the prophet. The prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was asked, what is a believer? And the prophet said, the believer is the one who, if your good deeds please you and your ill deeds displease you, then you're a believer. If your good deeds please you and your ill deeds displease you, then you're a believer. So if somebody want to give you a whole lot of drama and a whole lot of, you know, of rituals, and as I'm not speaking of what Allah has given us through the life model of Prophet Muhammad, I'm talking about somebody else. I've read books from the country remain unnamed, books that tell you after Jumu'ah you're supposed to do like 10,000. I'm talking about this is published. 10,000 dhikrs after Jumu'ah, and then so many at night, and so many. And I asked, it was the sheikh who had brought the books, and I basically asked him, where that comes from? I mean, what is that? And I had gotten a message from another brother. It stated publicly. It wasn't like hidden secret, right? Two things. I got to put it this way. We'll just cover and say as much as we're able to say based on the time. One brother visited Indonesia, right? When he visited Indonesia, we're quick to talk about how, and alhamdulillah, and you know, we should, the history of Indonesia and, you know, how Indonesia, the most populous Muslim country, et cetera, and how they became Muslims by the virtues of businessmen who had come there. But why was this brother, why was he going over there? He was going over there to do some consultancy on drug addiction. Consultancy on drug addiction. Because the drugs, prostitution, and things related to that in Indonesia and were so severe at his time that they need to talk to somebody who's been in the middle of it and survived and come through it. And we have to say Rahimullah Hulay brothers passed away. In any case, so the point is, he said, okay, so that's the most populous, you know, 95-99% Muslim population. Okay, well, who are the prostitutes? Who's the drug dealers? Who's the pimps? Who are the drug users? The prostitute, I was to be left, the prostitutes, the pimps, the drug dealers, drug users were Indonesian Muslims. A'udzubillahi min ash-shaytan rajim. So, and also in this other country that I'm mentioning now, that the sheikh had the books and talking about all these rituals to do, when I asked him, I said, well, why is this, what is this, what is that? He said, he started describing the drug use, the prostitution, those kind of behaviors, very influential among the Muslims in his country, and they give those rituals for those who would subscribe to them to keep them distracted and away from those ill behaviors, those ill actions. They're not born of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those are not the standards by which Al-Islam says this is what you have to do in order. No, you do what the Prophet said. Follow the evil deed with a good deed and behave well towards people. right? If your good deeds please you or ill deeds displease you, then you're a believer. Sincere. One more thing on sincere, because that's what I'm trying to deal with, innocence right now. Sincere. Sincere. Let's put it like this, since we got the screen working. Sincere. Right? What is sincere? You see sin. You see sin and call it what it is, you know? And this is Quran again. The Quran said the believers are those who fall only into small faults and then they don't justify themselves. See, that's where the shaitan comes in. I'm going to punch it right now, but then later on the other broadcast, I think it's on our Wednesdays now, whenever it comes up, it'll come up. If you really you want a quick abstract answer of who is shaitan, shaitan is rationality gone bad. Shaitan is rationality gone bad. I'll say it a third time. And this is just an abstract. Abstract means truth without details. It's truth. Shaitan is rationality gone bad. And one of the places that shaitan pops up after the jinn has already influenced us to move in a certain direction, what is shaitan pops up with the justification. Oh, it's all right. I ain't no big thing. Everybody doing it. Man, why are you tripping, man? Oh, you are holy now. Right? Who's that? That's shaitan, right? So sincere means that you are a sincere. You see it. What is sin? You see it. You're sincere. You see it. It don't mean you have to be holier than thou or anything like that, because the Quran tells us how to be. The Quran tells us that the believers are those who, when they see futility, they pass it by with honorable avoidance. You don't have to even get into Listen, if Allah guides them away from that, if you see a way to stop it with your hands, speak out about it, feel bad about it in your heart, without creating more problems than solving, like the imam said, don't kick the dung. Don't kick the dung. You walk in the island, you see some boo-boo. And that boo-boo, if it's dried up, then let it go and dry up. The sun and the rain and the water, it's going to get washed away. But if you go there and you try to kick it, now you got a problem. I have a beautiful story about Omar, but I'm not going to go through it right now. Another time we read it. But the idea is that now you got it all on your foot. You got all, and every step you take, you're spreading that smell with you. So if you can't solve it with a quickness and a finality without making it worse, then that's not khair. When it says fastabiqul khaira, which is, I'm talking this way because this is the deen. This is our way of life. This is the mindset. This is our mindset. So it's like whenever we see things, we got something to say about it. We got a way to respond to it. It's a mindset, right? So when it said, you know, pass by with honorable avoidance, the Imam Muhammad said, don't kick the dung. So the point is that all that is just because you don't act, you know, like, quote unquote, some kind of Muslim metaphor of Superman, I'll save you. Like, you must not really be righteous. You must not really be down with the deen, or you're not really serving Allah's cause. No. There's a rational way to do that. We got to get away from this. All right. So the point is that, so the first thing with Moses is that he was innocent. So you got to be innocent. Doesn't mean that you're without quote unquote sin or without shortcomings. As God says to Hadith Qudusi, it says, all of you sin by day and by night. That's everybody. All of you, by day and by night. Ask me for forgiveness and I'll forgive you. That's it. Do that and keep going. And what's the next thing? The second step is seek God's guidance first. God's guidance first. When Moses was, they would call it on the lam, right? On the lamb. Lamb means no, right? So I'm ready for any good that should come to me. So he was on the lamb. So he was on a negative situation, right? But the point is that he said that I hope that God would guide me, right? So after being sincere and innocent, seek God's guidance. Seek God's guidance. That's it. How many people are trying to do things without seeking Allah's guidance? You know, it's not just saying Bismillah. You say Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, yeah, good, Bismillah. But are you listening to Allah's guidance that my servants ask you concerning me? Tell them that I am always near, mindset, huh? Tell them that I am always near and listening, and let them with a will listen to my call, right? So you have to listen. وَتَقُوا وَيُعَلِمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Have God consciousness. Be conscious in the way that Allah wants you to be conscious, because Allah is always giving you the science. Allah is always giving you the science. But if you're not listening, if you're not paying attention, if you're not seeking Allah's guidance, then you just keep missing it. You just keep missing it, and then you'll wind up on the ta'if from the shaitan. You'll wind up wandering around, okay? Okay, second part, be sincere. I'm not going to cover each point with that per se. Let's go to the next step. The third step is help someone who doesn't even have what you have. This is the point. You might think about your situation being a low situation. Trust this. As I was waiting in the bank today, I'm sitting there, so there's a big window. You can see out the window people walking down the boulevard. And I saw this guy, and he's probably homeless or what have you. But, you know, he has clothes on. Obviously, they were not clean. But the shoe was halfway off his foot. She was halfway off his foot, off one foot, and the other one had a foot, and he was with effort doing the best he can to make progress up that street, right? I was there, had an appointment. I don't even know what I could have done for him in that particular situation. It wouldn't be intelligent for me to try to carry him or anything like that. All I could do is take note from the list and make dua for him. But at the same time, recognize, man, do not that your situation is a tough situation. Think about what his daily life is about, and you will hurry up and say, what in the world do I have to complain about, right? So, I mean, that's very important. The Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with mindset, huh? So when you look upon someone that has more than you, look quickly to someone who has less than you, lest you look down on what Allah has given you, right? That was also in the clip, that the part of the clip that we played. The person saying, "I'm in my tribe. This is the tribe that I'm in, and I see a whole lot of other tribes: celebrity tribe, athlete tribe, different blah blah blah. It's a money tribe. He said in the name of Jesus, right? He said, "I've never looked at any one of those tribes and said, I want to be in that tribe, or I got jealous of that tribe, or envious of that tribe. No, I got what I got. I'm grateful for what I have, and I'm moving with that and moving with the people who are moving with me." So in that same way, it's like you have to help someone that doesn't even have what you have. So listen, that means that a strategy for you getting more help from Allah is, you look at your situation. If you're in a Musa situation, based on the descriptions from this verse, 28 chapter 22 through 28, in that verse where it says, "I'm ready to receive any good that you're, I'm in desperate need of any good that you'll send," then you could be thinking about your situation maybe even at this moment. So I'm saying to you that the Quran, by this illustration and demonstration, is saying, you want God to help you? Then go find somebody who needs help that you can give, and they can't even give. You got more than them, or you're in a better position XYZ than they are. Find someone who is more needy than you and help them. That's that third step. Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it says, "He who removes from a believer one of his difficulties of this world, Allah will remove one of his troubles on the day of resurrection. And he who finds relief for a hard-pressed person," didn't say a hard-pressed Muslim, "he who finds relief for a hard-pressed person, Allah will make things easy for him on the day of resurrection. He who covers up the faults and the shortcomings of a Muslim, Allah will cover up his faults and shortcomings in this world and in the hereafter, and Allah supports his servant as long as the servant is supportive of his brother. That's a strategy for living. That's a strategy for being a blessing and being blessed. And that's our, quote-unquote, deen. That's our way of life. That's our mindset. That's our tribe. That's what we do. And that's how the blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come to us. That's how they get to us. Let's finish this up. And the fourth thing, you get the blessing, right? You got three, third step. Okay, the fourth step, after helping some needy person, then you make your dua to Allah for your needs. That's how it happens, right? So the first is being sincere in your request for guidance, and then also have in mind, let me go back to the principles better. I'm trying to summarize it, that doesn't work for me. Seek the guidance from Allah. First, be innocent. Second, seek guidance first from Allah. Third, help somebody who doesn't even have what you have. And fourth, after, so you don't make your dua for your needs until after you've given that help. After helping some needy person, then you make your dua to Allah for your needs, and you make it repeatedly. And we're not going to go into the length of saying that. You make dua, and you just keep making dua. You don't make dua like you make a hamburger order or something. They say, well, it should have been here by now. No, it don't work like that. You make the dua, and everything comes in Allah's time. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So we're headed for the checkout stand right now, and that's what it's going to be. That's what we have to say. You got
Oh, wait, hold on.
All right.
Did you mute?
It ain't me. Can I hear you now? Oh, my goodness. Okay, wait. I see mute on your speaker. Hold on. Let me get you. Hold on. Can't unmute your guest.
I think I got disconnected.
Oh, yeah, you got it. Now you're straight.
Carry on, because I will be on. I think I have the blog talk cut me off. I'm here. I'm coming in right now.
Yeah, we're about to close out anyway. So, come on through. I think you still get on. So when I see you, I'll bring you in. All right, let's see what we got here. We got Imam Shuaib. I went back to the broadcast from yesterday
right,
for your email, and it was no longer in the comments, and I want to take you up on the audio version of the Adam book. Okay, what you do is all you do is just send the email to sabilillah@aol.com, and we got to make you know, it's going to be, I'm just saying, $8 just for the audio. It's a 2-CD set. You send that $8, I'll send it to you. So send an address, and that's that. What else should I say, Camila?
No, In terms of the
payment, right?
I don't know. If they're on the social media platform.
Facebook got dropped off. Go ahead.
Yeah, so if they can find you on Facebook, that would be a good way to connect with you. But did you put
so,
on?
Because I'm like, you know, you and your email, just being like public
lab.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, it's already out there. I don't have a problem with people having my email because.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then
no sweat.
Cool. Then you've given the marching orders. How do we do it?
Okay, so now I got you on. Blog talk and it feels like an echo. I don't know. So
okay.
Things get switched up. So okay. So I guess that's it for the moment. Any comments that you want to give before we close out?
No, I want those notes that you have.
Oh, you got
today.
That. That's a part of your inheritance.
It's a nonstop conversation because this way of life, it's all everything that you bring up,
even
in just
sharing
the story
of
of Moses, but there are ideas, there are blueprints for our specific life and mission that Allah has put upon us in the Quran, right? And when you go into that, you can see, oh, okay, so my blueprint is Maryam. My blueprint is Eunice. My blueprint is Abraham. You know, and you can see that the code for how you need to execute the things that you need to execute are there. And yeah, there are areas, and even all of those, even when I think about for myself, but I've come to find myself strongly drawn in a particular area for what it is that I do. And I think that's the beauty of having your relationship with the Quran, to find yours, like what is your understanding of, if you're trying to figure out, why am I here, what am I supposed to do, it is in developing mm-hmm. that relationship to understand that part of it. I think also all of those things are rooted in how do you see Allah? Like, are you still carrying a colonized idea of God? And mm-hmm. in feeling that, you know, the way that Allah shows up in your life, like even in times of struggle or challenge, that it's to get you to see what you need to see to move forward, to make things better for yourself. That, and really believing and knowing that Allah is not, you know, it's not exciting. Allah does not want us to have pain or, you know, oppression. It's like, but do you believe that? Or are you hanging on to this idea that, why is it so hard? No, you're making it hard. Right? You know, there's a part of us that has to understand that the hardness is when you resist. Like, you know, the struggle is in resistance, right? So when you don't resist the direction that Allah is placing you into, it does become easy. You know, there is an ease to it. And then getting our bodies to submit to what's being asked of us, you know, taking on a Ramadan mindset all the time and how we, you know, govern this vehicle that is being moved by the soul that's housed in it. And that is the part that makes it easy, because we understand that Allah will give us the resources necessary in order for us to function fully. So all the things that you shared, I think that it's good for everyone to take a moment and sit back and reflect, like, how do you see Allah in your life? Like, what is your relationship with Allah? And what are those ideas that you need to eliminate that don't belong to Allah, but you hang on to, and that is what's affecting your belief that's blocking your success?
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Good. So you can still hear me, right?
I can hear you perfectly.
Wonderful. And I can hear you perfectly. All right, y'all. That's going to be it for tonight. That's was what it was. It is what it is. Alhamdulillah. And I'm Bilal Amin. Always a pleasure to ride with you. Firstborn. Alhamdulillah. Always to know that the receipt has been received. Alhamdulillah. And I'm Bilal Amin. Thank you all for joining us. And mashallah, we will see some of you on Wednesday. And life goes on. May Allah continue to bless you and guide you. Oh, mashallah. We want to acknowledge, Amini, speaking about your assistant and then my assistant, they both lost their grandmother and mother in turn. That is her grandmother, Aisha, Williams Islam, and my Amina Latifa, executive assistant, mother passed away. Maybe 2 days ago, I think it is. May Allah grant her forgiveness for her shortcomings and grant her entry to the paradise, inshallah. Mm-hmm. She's left a wonderful legacy, great fruit from her tree, and may Allah continue to extend it as it has been extended. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, as the scripture says, and we have beautiful babies that are still coming from her tree, alhamdulillah. Mm-hmm. We have yet to see what they're going to bring to the world. And we know it's going to be great, because they got that, what some call, royal DNA. All right. Godspeed. Assalamu alaikum. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam.